Amen. 2 Timothy, okay, verse 1. Paul writes this right here. He says, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Paul wrote that to Timothy a long time ago, but that sounds like the State of the Union message right there. Amen. And he was warning preacher boy, a long 1900 years ago, that the perilous times would include these things. And he'd already given Timothy a lot of good information in the first epistle and then in chapter 1 and chapter 2 of the second epistle. But just before checking out, and that's what he did in chapter 4, he said, "For I am not ready to be offered," in verse 6, "and the time of my departure is at hand." And he's talking about his execution. I mean, that's what Paul got for leading a consecrated, sanctified, separated life dedicated to the service of the King. Got his head cut off. And here's what he said about it: "I'm ready to go." Amen. But I tell you what, as much as he looked forward to the Lord's coming in his lifetime like we do, he knew that he was at the end of his lifetime and the work's going to have to go on, and he's preparing this preacher and he's giving him some great doctrine and great things that the Holy Spirit of God saw fit to put in that Bible for you and I as well. And see, it's interesting to me that he begins this chapter and this list with this right here: "This know also." I told you a lot, but you need to know this too. And he gives him a list, and he describes them as being perilous times, indicators of the last days. Amen. I want to preach to you tonight on this thought, this subject, in times like these. We certainly live in times like these, do we not? All right. I'd like to ask my friend, Pastor Michael Rizzuti, to pray for the message tonight. Would you do that for me, brother?
This congregation tonight. May your spirit be in me. May I be submitted to follow. And God, tonight I thank you for your goodness and grace. Do something in our midst, Lord. Make it. Make us be able to be truly set us good people.
Amen. Thank you, preacher. It's good to see you again. Amen. This know also that in the last days, the perilous time shall come. I don't get a newspaper. I change locations every week. My subscription can't seem to keep up with me, but every once in a while I'll see a little headline or something somewhere and try to cut it out. I got a bunch of things here, and I'm not real good with all these illustrations. You know me by now. I'm not a good illustrator like my pastor, for example, but I'm going to weed through these. But I tell you something, you know as well as I do tonight, we live in perilous times. We live in times that are, amen, indicative of the list that we've got here. It says despisers of those that are good, for example. Listen, when I was, before I was saved, I was a bad guy. I wasn't a person that would try to convince himself he was a good guy. I was a bad guy. I knew it. I worked at it. When a preacher came and preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of my sins, I tell you what, I knew this right here. I knew I was a sinner. Amen. And so I got saved, and out of a sense of gratitude, which is a good way to start, amen, to my Savior, to the sinless Son of God, I tried to embark on a path of being a good guy. Now I'm a good guy. Amen. I'm just as hated by society as I was before. I think, wait a minute, I'm a Christian. There's a time when people would see me walking down a downtown sidewalk and cross the street with their kids to keep them away from me in the old days with all the hair and the colors and all that. And usually if I was downtown, it had something to do with court. Amen. And ladies, but now I go down there with a Bible and try to tell them about Jesus Christ. And you know what they do? They grab their kids and they walk across the street, try to keep away. I said, how did we become the bad guys? Amen. In the last days, this know also that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. Here's some of these articles. Listen, here's when a man, 77 years old, he got arrested because he beat his wife up. Now, he's 77. She's 65. He beat her up. No, she's 74. He beat her up because he is frustrated about the high cost of her medical bills. He had to drive her to the doctor every week, and he just got mad. Can you imagine the police being called to a fight between a 77 and a 74-year-old couple, amen, arguing over money? It happens. Happened there. That's an article. I'm trying to find one, but, man, I got good stuff on the way. Here's one about a mom doing court in San Francisco. She's in court because she threw her kids, you know, off the pier there at Fisherman's Wharf. And here's her argument. Here's what her lawyer brought before a judge in her defense. She said, she loved her kids, but God summoned her to sacrifice her children. Now listen, I know there's nuts that might say stuff like that, but it blows my mind still that a lawyer would say that in somebody's defense before a judge. Amen. And, I'll tell you something. We live in perilous times. I got one somewhere here. About a man in San Diego, and he shot a police officer. Police officer, 28 years old, and had a couple young kids. Good man, been on the force about 4 years. And this guy shot him and killed him, and they arrested him, and there were witnesses, and there was never any doubt whether or not he was guilty. And the state was seeking a death penalty, and his lawyers, in defense of him getting life instead of the death penalty, they said, Your Honor, he was temporarily insane, and you've heard that before. You've heard that before. Don't give him the death penalty. He was temporarily because of a drug-fueled psychosis. Now, that's a fancy way of saying the guy got drunk and high and killed a cop, and some lawyer used that as a defense to keep, I hope they fried him. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to tell you something. I was on the other side of the law for a long, long time. An armed citizenry, and a death penalty is a deterrent to crime. Amen. This here article about a young girl. She's 21 years old, and this article's made. Blonde-haired girl, looks like one of my daughters, kind of. And in her yearbook, it said this. Some people wrote in, that she was a gifted, hardworking student, mature beyond her years. Her testimony in high school was she was a talented athlete, played 3 sports, popular, high-spirited girl. She's from Billings, Montana. Amen. About as normal of an environment as you can find, about as far from the maddening crowd in the big city and all the influences like that that you can find. But and that was 18 years old. At 19, she went to Los Angeles to the University of Southern California. And 2 years into her college career, she's arrested for murder. So what'd she do? She had a baby in her apartment. She carried it out and put it in a dumpster in front of her house. And this, talk about without natural affection. When I hear that, the first thing I think about is queers and all the same-sex marriage stuff. But I'm going to tell you something. If there's a picture of without natural affection, it's a mother doing that to her kid. Natural affection is for a mother to love her kids. This know also then last days, a perilous time shall come. I got one somewhere. I'm not even going to look at him. It's this kid killed his dad because his dad took MySpace away from him. Yeah, and I've heard of several of them. Amen. The other day, a woman stabbed her boyfriend to death because he cut her off of MySpace, whatever, all that stuff. That stuff makes me sick. Amen. Just personal. You do what you want. You're good anyway. But I'm telling you, some of that stuff will get you in trouble. You better be careful of that junk. Amen. This woman had a secretive Facebook. I don't care. And the guy said, "You're spending what are you spending so much time?" And so he unplugged the computer, and she unplugged him, stabbed him. Amen. And I read her defense to the police. Her statement was, "Well, he wouldn't even let me talk to my friends." Another woman killed her husband because he wouldn't let her listen to Bruce Springsteen. You know, come on. This know also. Then the last days, Canadian boy ran away after his Xbox was confiscated. Ran away from home, ran out in the woods. Pervert got him, killed him. Amen. I got one somewhere. Now this is good. You're going to like this. If you didn't like the other ones, this one's going to be informative. Here's an article. This is Time Magazine. I don't subscribe, but I saw this at a drugstore going through the aisle. I had to have it. The article says how we became human. It's got a picture of a monkey and a picture of a baby, and I always wanted to know that, so I bought it. Amen. So then I got reading the article, and I found some interesting pictures. Here's one here. I don't know. I mean, does that look like anybody in your family album right there? And the article says, "What makes us different? It's a crying shame that people reject what the Word of God says and then get their doctrine out of a Time magazine." Amen. And the sad thing is, there's people that'll believe that. Amen. They won't believe what the book says, but they'll believe that kind of foolishness. Say, what are you saying, Brother Spurgeon? We live in some crazy, crazy times. Amen. There's one here I kind of like because I've funded 3 weddings already. Drive-through weddings offered at a Florida store for $20. I think that's ingenious. I was in Gatlinburg, and they had drive-through weddings, and I tried to bribe my daughters to do that. I said, "I'll give you $1,500. It would have saved me a lot of headaches." They would not go for it. I don't know what's wrong with them. But that's where we're at. Listen, they're going to have drive-through divorces there too. This know also in the last days, perilous times should come. You know this as well as I do. We live in the last days, in times like these. Wicked times, unsure times, evil times. I'm going to tell you something. It's a scary time to be a young person. It's a scary time to be a kid. When I was a kid, growing up in northern Ohio, in the summertime, man, I'd take a rifle and a collie dog and head out into the woods and be gone all day. And I knew to be home by supper time. And my mom didn't think about me, didn't worry about me. Amen. Of course, I had a rifle. Amen. Man, I wouldn't let my kids out of sight in my own neighborhood anymore. This know also, listen, Charles Spurgeon's kid, Dwight L. Moody's kids, but they didn't face the same kind of stuff these kids face. This is a scary time to be a kid. It's a scary time to be a parent. I want to preach you if, you know, I mean, that's kind of negative, so I better cheer you up a little bit. I'm going to give you some things that we need to do, we need to adhere to, we need to embrace while we can. In times like these, there are some things. Go to Psalm 5. Psalm 5 tonight. And look with me in verse 8. Psalm 5, verse 8, it says this simply, "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face." The psalmist writes this, "Lead me, O Lord." I'll tell you something, in times like these, perilous times, crazy times, it's more important than ever for you and I, Bible believers, the rest of the world might not know what's going on. They don't know what's going on. But we claim to know what's going on. I'm going to tell you something. It's more important than ever to let God lead. David asked that God lead him. "Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness." And we need that. People ask me all the time, "Brother Spurgeon, what do you see traveling around?" Amen. I could write a book on what I see traveling around. Amen. But I'm going to tell you this. This sticks out in my mind right here. There are too many of us independent Bible-believing Baptists that are more independent than we are Bible-believing or Baptists. And what I'm saying is this right here. David prayed that the Lord would lead him, and some of us that claim to be washed in the blood of Christ, amen, and we believe this book cover to cover, truth of the matter is, amen, aren't about to be led anywhere. Amen. So here's what that makes the preacher's job, this right here. We can suggest. We can advise. We can share. But don't tell me what to do. That's the spirit of our crowd these days. Let me tell you something. Some of us, and I can look around and see who's my age, and some of you are younger, and some of you are much older. Amen. Okay, not much, but a little older. And some of us made great rebels back in the 60s and the 70s. But I'll tell you what, some of us got in on the gift of God, and we still make great rebels. Why? Because we don't want to be told what to do now anymore. I mean, lost people say, "Don't preach to me." Amen. I'm going to tell you what. Christians may not say it with their mouth, but we watch. We watch. You know this thing. Listen, I tried to sleep on my pastor when I was a brand new Christian. I thought if I'm in a congregation, and if I just sat real still and closed my eyes, he wouldn't notice. Let me tell you something. Pastor sees everything that's going on in here. We're not preaching to a spot on the wall. We didn't go to that school. We're preaching to people. We're watching you. And we can see. You can sit there with a smile. We can see you roll your eyes without any outward amen movement at all. We can see when it crosses the line and all of a sudden we've gone to meddling, in your opinion. It may be part of why the world's in the mess that the world's in. Paul wrote this, "Know also that in the last days, perilous times that shall come." He's equipping a preacher, man, because he's telling his preacher what he's going to be faced with in the ministry. And too many of us aren't about to be led anywhere. And I said it last night, we get to preaching and we can see when this thought comes on a person's mind, who does he think he's talking to? Let me say it again. I'm talking to you. Amen. Last days like this, it's more important than ever that to let God lead. He said in the verse, "Make thy way straight." And we don't want it straight anymore. We want preachers to beat around the bush, and we want suggestions. But I'm going to tell you something. God ordained preaching, Bible preaching, so it be straight. Go to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And if this isn't a familiar passage, you're not reading a proverb a day, and you ought to. Now, I don't think that's all your Bible reading should consist of by far, but I'm for that. I'm for that policy. Read a proverb a day. Amen. I'm for that, the one that corresponds with the date. Verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding." Now, why would the Lord have it put in there like that, because that's what we do. That's our tendency. Amen. After we get a little experience, after we grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, it seems that we quit trusting in the Lord with all our heart, and we start leaning onto our own understanding. Well, we've been here before, we've seen it before, we know what to do. No, we're still supposed to trust in the Lord with all our heart, because the next verse says, in all thy ways acknowledge him. Now, I got no better sense than believe that it means what it says. And it says, and he shall direct thy path. And if you're not acknowledging him in all your ways, everything concerning spiritual decisions, if you're not acknowledging him in all your ways, is he obligated to direct your path? Doesn't look like it. Listen, I'll illustrate like this. You girls going to school down south, you may have seen this down south. I've never seen it up north around here anyway. But sometimes down there in Florida and Alabama and that thing, you'll see license plate and it says, God is my co-pilot. You ever seen that yet? I'm going to mail you one. Put it on your car. Amen. I'll preach about it. Amen. You ever heard of that? Anybody ever heard of that but me? Amen. God is my co-pilot. Let me tell you what's wrong with Bible-believing Christianity. That right there. Listen, if God's your co-pilot, it means he's not directing your path. It means you are. This know also in the last days, perilous time shall come. Amen. We need to be letting God direct our path. We need to be letting God lead. And when we don't, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your marriage, your family, your kids, your church, when we don't let God lead, amen, look at the state of our nation today. Amen. I'll tell you what happens to churches. I'll tell you what happens to Christians. We get bogged down by unnecessary struggles that are keeping us from getting sinners to Christ. And that's exactly what the devil wants. Man, I work with pastors every week. 50 weeks a year, I'm with a pastor somewhere, and you know what? I'm finding out that a lot of them spend a disproportionate amount of time dealing with, counseling with Christians who are bogged down with things that they don't need to be bogged down with. If we just let God lead, maybe we could get about the Father's business. But we're just back and forth over nickel dime things that are they derive from not submitting to the leadership of that book, leadership of God. Amen and amen. Hold on a second. Amen. Good preaching, Brother Spurgeon. Okay, I'll take it. Well, you didn't show up today to paint that on my motorhome. I want you to know. I don't even know which one it did. They tell me, and I can't tell, so I just look at them both. Amen. In times like these, I don't know why I keep confusing them, but it doesn't matter. I'll tell on myself. Amen. I don't think I'm above making a mistake. Do you? Paul said, in the last days, perilous times shall come. And I'll tell you something, and that's all true, and we can harp on that, and we can pick everybody apart, we can pick our government apart, we can do all that, but I'll tell you what we really need to do, more important than ever for us, we need to let God lead. I don't care who's in Washington, I'm concerned with who's on the throne in your life. Amen. All that stuff comes and goes, don't you know? And it's going to go, okay? It's going to come and go maybe a couple more times before the Lord comes back. I hope not, but it doesn't even matter to me, because my authority, my king doesn't run for election. Amen. Because I'm trying to let God lead. How about you? All right. Now, go to Hebrews chapter 4. That's number one. Hebrews, let God lead. That's number one. That's things to do in times like these. Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look in verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, familiar verse. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Discerner of the thoughts, that's what's going on in your head, and the intents of your heart. In other words, when you pick up that Bible, when you read it, it's reading you. Amen. Amen. That's quite a book. Don't you think it'd be a good time, especially in times like these, to put a little effort forth to learn the Bible? learn the Bible. If we let God lead and then we could learn the Bible, that book says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. Now, my understanding is the perversions, amen, have removed the word study out of that verse. Amen. Now, who do you think would be behind you not learning the word of God? Amen. To me, now listen, I'm no scholar by any means. Amen. I don't speak Greek, Hebrew, anything else. Amen. I'm still struggling with normal English. Amen. But I'm telling you this, it looks to me like it's the devil that would want to prevent you from being approved unto God. Times like these, we need to learn the Bible. The first question in your Bible, the first question mark in the King James Bible. I don't know what the first question mark was in the NIV. I could care less. Amen. But the first question in the King James Bible was, yea, hath God said. You know that. And that was asked by the devil. Amen. And I'm telling you today, the attack hasn't let up since. Psalm 119. In verse 9 says this, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And if there's an illustration for that verse, let me see, August 1999, I was visiting a man on death row in prison in Stark, Florida. Stark, Florida, they let me, a convicted felon, federal convicted felon, get in to death row and have a one-on-one with a convicted murderer that was going to be executed. I know that's impossible. I know that. But I've got a God that says with me all things are possible. And when I come out of there, I went across the state and went into a juvenile facility and preached and some kids got saved. And when I came out of that, I got a phone call, and my pastor of 11 years, my pastor had a massive heart attack. And Dr. Estep, you've heard him referred to, and your pastor mentions him. I tell you what, we almost lost him, amen. I went home and prayed, and God spared his life. And I tell you what, Pastor Gresham stepped up to the plate and kept the ship on course. And those of us out of the church that were called to preach, when we'd come through, we'd fill the pulpit and everybody just worked together, amen, to keep the church alive. And amen, the church is alive and well. But after a while, Brother Estep got to where he could preach again. And a lot of people got the idea that he was okay. He was okay, and he wasn't okay. He'd suffered some problems. I hate to say the word brain damage, amen. But if you're smart as him, you could have a lot of brain damage and still be smarter than most everybody else. That's kind of what happened to him. What I'm saying is this. He had issues. He had confusion problems with a lot of regular areas in his life. But when he got behind the pulpit, he preached like always. And here's what I'm trying to say. All those years, for 30 years, he put the word of God in his heart. And it didn't even, when he got behind the pulpit, it didn't even matter that he's having problems in his head. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. It's crazy now compared to what it was. It could very well get, I'm not one of these doom and gloom guys waiting for the Gestapo to come. I mean, the Gestapo's already coming, drag me out in handcuffs. It won't be nothing new to me. But I'm going to tell you something like this. It can get a lot crazier before the Lord comes back. And it'll be more important than ever that you and I learn the Bible. Amen. That we learn the Bible. Go to Hebrews chapter 5. You're close. Hebrews chapter 5. And let me say, let me read verse 13 and 14. Bible says this, for everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. Now that's your brand new Christian. And just like a baby, you feed them milk. And then they grow. Amen. And then it says this, verse 14, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even them that are, even those who by reason of use. Now the context is the Bible. The context is the word of righteousness. Even though those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. I'll tell you something, beloved, tonight, in times like these, perilous times, last days, it's more important than ever that we, at least as Bible believers, have our senses exercised that we may discern both good and evil. I'm telling you something, the lines are getting a little hazy out there. Isaiah said in chapter 5, woe unto them that call good evil and evil good. I'm telling you, hey, we live in those days. More important than ever, get a hold of what the Bible says. Amen. Forget about the History Channel and Discovery Channel and all the idiots on the radio. We better get back to the book, my friend. Amen. All right, now that's two. That's two. Now let me say this to you now. In times like these, let me say it like this. America is the land of opportunity. Now, if you don't realize that, you need to go to a third world country. Just for a week or two. You don't have to go very long. You don't have to go very far. Go to Haiti one time. Go to Haiti, you'll think you're on the backside of the worst place in Africa. You don't have to go far. I've been down southern Mexico. People don't have near as much as they got here. I go down there, Mexico, and preach, and they're precious people down there, love the Lord. But I don't blame them for wanting to come here. I don't blame anybody for wanting to come to America. Amen. I've been a lot of other countries. I don't blame them for wanting to be here. Amen. Why? Because this is the land of opportunity. What does that mean? This is the way it's supposed to mean. I'm not talking about come here and get on welfare, get on some program, but I'm talking about America is still a place where if you're willing to work, if you're willing to labor, amen, you can set your sights on something, you can achieve a goal, and you can attain it if you're willing to work. In times like these, it's more important than ever. The Christians, Bible believers, us, get back in the business of laboring for souls. Laboring for souls. We need to let God lead. We need to learn the Bible. And we need to labor for souls. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says this, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Let me tell you something, beloved. Every time you see the word long-suffering in your Bible, you ought to underline it, you ought to circle it, you ought to highlight it, you ought to thank God for it. Amen. I'll tell you what, we've taken the long-suffering and the patience and the mercy of God for granted for a long time. Amen. And it says that he's long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish. Amen. But that all should come to repentance. Amen. This is the holdup. This is why the Lord hadn't come back yet. We can sing the songs. Amen. We can even so come, Lord Jesus. But according to the passage, 2 Peter chapter 3, the scorner said, where's the promise of his coming? He says, not flat concerning his promise. There's people that'll end up in hell if he came back today. And that's why he hadn't come back then. And it's why he hadn't come back yet. But I'm going to tell you something. He knows when the last person that's going to get saved is, and he's coming back. But I'm going to tell you what, between now and then, here's what his testimony is. He's not willing that any should perish, and he's left us here with a commission to be witnesses unto him, to be ambassadors unto him, that in Christ's stead, we might point this world, dark world, to Jesus Christ. We're supposed to get back to laboring for souls. Listen, I read a verse and Jesus Christ said, I think it's Luke 19, it says this, Jesus said, occupy till I come. Occupy. That's the word occupation comes from. We think that means occupy a lazy boy in front of a big screen TV. Amen. Man, it blows my mind. I go to these stores, I'll go in there, and there'll be screens, amen, this big. I'm thinking, you put that in your living room? We had screens that big when I was growing up. They called them drive-ins. When he says occupied till I come, he's not talking about sitting there with a bowl of popcorn and a soda pop and a remote in your hand. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you something else. He's not talking about occupying a desk chair in front of that stinking internet either. He's talking about working while we can. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. In times like these, amen, we need to get back to laboring for souls. Man, I go to churches, man, I look around, I'm there for a week like this, you know, I'll be watching things, and I'm telling you what, some people stroll into church like they're doing God a favor. The only thing that's missing is the time clock and the board with all the cards. It's like in the foyer, I watch them come in, and it's like they're ready to take it and You know, like they're going to show that time card at the judgment seat of Christ. Look what I did. Look what I did. Look how many hours I put in. Amen. I'm going to tell you something, man. We need to quit punching the time clock for God and start praying about opportunities to get the gospel of Jesus Christ into people's hands while we can. Times like these, it's more important than ever to labor for souls. Amen. Times like these, perilous times. I got all these illustrations. I don't know what to do with them all. Amen. We'll just preach the Bible. How about that? Hebrews chapter 12. I told you I wasn't very good at that. One time I heard my pastor, he preached on something about being in a boat, and they told me he had the pulpit moved, and he stood in a rowboat on the platform the whole time, preached a message in a rowboat, and he'd rock the boat and everything. I wasn't there. I missed that. And man, I hear about all that stuff, and I go, God never gives me stuff like that. He said, Holy Spirit said, dummy, I give you 5 pieces of paper. You can't keep them under control. Just preach the Bible, Spurgeon, leave all that fancy illustrating to somebody who knows what they're doing. And then I said, yes, sir. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. I'm going to tell you something be good for us to do. Good for us to do. I mean, sincerely do. I'm not talking about when we're in revival. I'm not talking about when our song leader's fired up and trying to get us fired up. Appreciate your effort. I pray that you get more response. Amen. In the days to come. Because I'm going to tell you something. It's more important than ever. We start looking for Jesus. Amen. We need to let God lead in our life. We need to learn some Bible. He gave us that Bible. He said to study it. He said, use it and you'll know the difference between good and evil. He said, you hide it in your heart and you won't sin. Amen. I guess that must have something to do with why there's so much sin in the camp. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. In this know also then the last days, perilous times shall come. Let me tell you what happens at the end of the last days. The Lord's coming back. Amen. Are you ready for that? I'll tell you something tonight. It's time for you and I to start looking for Jesus. That book says he endured the cross. He despised the shame. He endured the cross. He didn't want to go there any more than you did. But he went there because of the joy that he experienced the day you bowed your knee, confessed with your mouth that you were a hell-deserving, hell-bound sinner. Now, I'm going to tell you something. God got a thrill out of that that made the cross worth it to him. Amen. That's the one we're supposed to be looking for. That's the one we're supposed to be singing about and rejoicing in. That's the one in whose appearance we're to be loving. There's an old preacher out of Michigan. This is back, I don't know what his era was. He's dead, but his name was M.R. DeHaan. And I heard a couple things he preached. Some of it was pretty good. But I'll tell you, this was real good. He had a thing on his desk in his office. He's a pastor in Michigan. And he had one of those triangular pieces of wood with a little piece of brass on it, like pastors will have their name on it, you know, and it'll be there on their desk. And his didn't have his name on it. His said this right here, perhaps today. And every day when that guy walked into his office, he looked down at that thing. And boy, I'll tell you what, one of the first thoughts that got a hold of him every day, no matter how busy he was, like we get busy, but he was reminded, amen, he made a point to remind himself that this could be the day the Lord comes back. You know, if every one of us lived like the Lord's coming back today, tomorrow, we'd live different, myself included. Amen? He was looking for Jesus. Are you? In times like these, I tell you what, that's what we ought to be doing, because he's going to catch us unawares one of these days if we're not. Boy, I got preaching about the rapture one time. I got preaching about how great that'll be. And I said, I looked down, there's a couple sitting in the front row, and I said, wouldn't it be great if the Lord came back today? And this guy and this girl, they give each other this real nervous look, and they didn't look too excited about that at all. And I took note of that and kept on preaching. And later on, I found out they were engaged 2 weeks. 2 weeks they was getting married, and all their thought and everything had been getting for this marriage. And I know what that look they gave each other was. He's waited 2,000 years. Can't he just wait 2 more weeks? You know what? Them, I can understand. But I don't understand people that claim to be washed in the blood of Christ that are just going about their whole life looking forward to their retirement, looking forward to their vacation, looking forward to their next house, next car, just looking forward to things that ain't going to amount to a hill of beans in eternity, and don't give much thought to the Lord coming back. Perilous times like this, we better be looking for him. I got one here, I'm not even going to look for it, but it's a quote by the, I can't even believe I can say this right, Mumad Ahmadinejad. I cannot believe I heard that idiot's name enough times to even say it that close. And this would be a good time to say, I'd like to thank my mother in heaven for not naming me Mumad. Amen. No wonder the guy's a jerk. Amen. If your name was Mumad, you'd have an attitude all your life too. But I got an article here somewhere, trust me. And he said this. He said, they're going to destroy Israel. They're going to push Israel into the sea. One day, he says on international news, we're developing nuclear energy for peaceful reasons. And everybody goes, oh, that's nice. And then the next day, he says, we will destroy Israel. And nobody makes the connection. But when he said this, and I read it, and I got it here, we will destroy Israel. You know what I did? I got my Bible out, and I skipped to the back, and I said, oh, no, you're not. But I know this, when people start talking like that, and they've been talking like that for a long time, but when the capability begins to realize itself, I know what's coming. He's coming. I'll tell you what, this would be a good time not to get caught unawares, amen. Lord's coming back. Now, I'm going when he does. And if you're saved, so are you. And that's going to be exciting. We can't even comprehend it. We can't comprehend what heaven's going to be like. I have not seen nor heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. We can't imagine what that rapture's going to be like. I was a paratrooper. I jump out of planes. I can't imagine what it's like to be going up. I mean, gravity, but we're gone. That'll be great. Amen. I'm liking it. I'm going to do it. I tell you what, it's going to be exciting. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to like, personally. I'm going to like looking down at a pile of tattoos on the ground. When I go up, I can see it, man. All that junk, whoop, just leave it. They can use them. They can make a lampshade in the tribulation for all I care. I don't care. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The perilous times that we live in now, crazy as they are nothing compared to what's going to start going on as soon as the church gets out of here. Well, that's why we better get some people to Christ while we can. All right? In times like these, perilous times, wicked times, we need to let God lead. We need to learn the Bible. We need to get back in the business of laboring for souls, not handing out tracts out of duty. Just, I'm talking about make a concentrated effort to get out there and win some folks. All right? We need to do that. We need to look for Jesus because he's looking for us. But last of all, go to Revelation chapter 3. See, you thought I was done. See, I kind of set you up there. I learned that from Eric. Amen. Revelation chapter 3, one more. Now, you got the Lord talking, and he's standing at the door of a church. The church that represents the age in which we live. And it says this. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Now, there he is. He's on the outside knocking. And you know what he's saying? Here's what he's saying. Let me in. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. That's what we need to do. That's what we need to do this night. If the Lord's on the outside, I'm not questioning your salvation. But if he's not leading and you don't have any interest in the Bible and you haven't really thought much about doing anything to get souls or win anybody or get them under the preaching of the gospel, invite them to your church. If you haven't really the rapture's going to come. You know that one of these days you're going to go because you're saved and you know that much Bible. But just the truth of the matter is the Lord and you haven't had a real personal talk in a while. Maybe he's on the outside. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'll tell you what we need to do. I'll tell you the best thing we could do for our sake, our family's sake, our country's sake, is to let him in. Let him in. If you're saved here tonight, and I don't doubt most of you are, many of you are, and you're not where you should be with the Lord, and that's between you and him. You can fake me out. People do that all the time, man. I've noticed I can go into a place and the biggest rascal in the church can put on a good front for 4 or 5 days. But you know what? I'm usually friends with the pastors I preach for almost every time. Amen. And some of you, I find out. Amen. You know, if you're not faithful, if you're not, you know, don't put on a show for me. This is between you and God. I'm encouraging right now to do business with God. Be honest with God. If you're not where you should be with the Lord in any way, any facet of your walk, could I say to you, you need to let him in? Let him in. If it feels like the Lord's on the outside, let him in. I'm going to tell you how you do that. Now, there was a time when I was a lost man, a drug addict and drunkard and all that. If I lost something, if I misplaced something, that's it. Forget it. If it was a lighter or keys or something like that, if I thought it was and it wasn't there, I just wrote it off. I could. One of the things that I've enjoyed since the Lord's transformed my mind, amen, when I misplace something, I can sit and think and retrace my steps, and I can usually find what I've lost. And there's a joy for that maybe some of you don't understand, because there was a time when I was, you know, it just wasn't that way. And I found this, when you're not walking with the Lord the way you should, and you've got a Bible that says he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you, if you retrace your steps, if you sit down and you sincerely want to get your relationship right, if you'll sit down, if you'll think it through, if you'll backtrack for a while, you'll figure out, if you don't know, you'll figure out exactly what it was that entered into your life, that you allowed back into your life or into your life, whatever influence, whatever small besettings, whatever it was that forced him out. You retrace your steps, you'll arrive at what caused him to depart, and you deal with that, you repent of that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin. That's how you get him back. That'll open the door. Any man hear my voice and open the door. That's what gets the door open. That'll work every time. If we confess our sins, that's not begging him, man. That's being honest with him. That's what he wants from us tonight. But I'll tell you what that does. That makes it your move. He's knocking. And he said, if any man open, now you got to open. You going to let him in tonight? Now, if everything's the way it should be, praise the Lord. Pray for us. But, you know, I don't go around the country preaching revivals to churches where everything's perfect. I don't know if there is any. So that means this. That means this. There's a good chance. There's some area in your life tonight that's not where it ought to be. And I'm going to encourage you to get as honest with God as you can and get him back in charge, on the throne, leading. I'm going to tell you what that'll do. That'll give you a desire for his book. That'll give you his burden for souls. That'll make his coming more precious than ever. And some of the things, the cares, the affairs, and the issues of this life that cause him, that force him out, it'll get them out and him back in. Perilous times tonight. Crazy times, wicked times. Let God lead. Is he leading? If not, that's what you need to submit tonight. And I don't know about you. I think these are exciting times. I don't think the Lord made any mistakes by when he put us in history. Brother Eric said we got put on the planet in a time where we're saved by grace through faith. That means this. That means not one of us in here had a chance any other time. He made it a gift. But at the same time, people aren't getting saved by the thousands, but I've seen a few walk the aisles and recent weeks. It encouraged me so much when one sinner comes to repentance. Man, I rejoice. And my Bible says God does too. Amen? So I hope you're doing something to labor for souls. And let me just say this. If you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you know what you do? You let him in too. You let him in. Same way you get honest with him. Same way a Christian gets right, that's how you get saved. You get honest with God and admit that you've got a need that he can meet that you can't meet. And if you don't realize that, I'm telling you tonight, on the authority of the Word of God, you got a need you can't meet. And that's the sin debt that he went to the cross to pay. And if you're not saved here tonight, I pray that you'd let him deal with your heart and that you'd put your faith and trust in him tonight. You just obey this pastor when he comes. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But it also says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life shall be cast into the lake of fire. Amen? All right. Father, let's pray. Father, I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I pray you take something else said tonight, and may it be a blessing to you. And I pray that your people would respond according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And, Lord, there's somebody in here tonight that needs to submit to your leadership. Lord, that's something we all struggle with all the time. And I pray that tonight maybe they get that thing confessed and ironed out and straight. And I'm not going to re-preach the message, Father. I just pray that your spirit would bear witness to your word and that you'd be pleased with our response to your word tonight. And, Lord, I love you. Thank you for meeting with us tonight. And I just pray, God, again, that you'd be pleased with us. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come. Amen.